From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me! A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship. But it is not this day.
A battle cry from the Hollywood blockbuster, The Lord of the Rings trilogy. Today, the actor known by millions for his portrayal of the warrior king Aragorn joins us in studio. Viggo Mortensen will talk about peace, the ongoing wars in the Middle East, U.S. empire, working with the late historian Howard Zinn, and his response to the growing police boycott of director Quentin Tarantino's films for speaking out against police brutality. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Doctors Without Borders has released an internal report on the U.S. bombing of its hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan. The U.S. airstrike on October 3rd killed at least 30 people, including 13 staff members, 10 patients, and 7 unrecognizable victims yet to be identified. Doctors Without Borders has said the strike appears to be a war crime. The new report describes patients burning in their beds, medical staff who were decapitated and lost limbs, and staff members shot from the air while they fled the burning building. The report described doctors and other medical staff being shot while running to reach safety in a different part of the compound. Doctors Without Borders says it provided the GPS coordinates to U.S. and Afghan officials weeks before, and that the strikes continued for half an hour after U.S. and Afghan authorities were told the hospital was being bombed. Doctors Without Borders General Director Christopher Stokes said, quote, "The view from inside the hospital is that this attack was conducted with a purpose to kill and destroy, but we don't know why," he said. In Mexico, the Supreme Court has issued a strong condemnation of the U.S.-backed war on drugs and paved the way for the possible legalization of marijuana. On Wednesday, the court ruled 4 people who had applied for a license to grow and use marijuana have the right to do so. The case lays the groundwork for future legal action in Mexico that could lead to legalization nationwide. Uruguay legalized marijuana in 2013, and medical marijuana legalization bills are being debated in Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto spoke after the ruling.
The government respects the definitions of the Supreme Court of the nation, and particularly on this issue. I am also clear that this position opens a wide debate for eventually discussing a regulation on the issue of the consumption of marijuana. This means for us that the deliberation now will be about the commercialization for consumption and the legalization of marijuana consumption.
This comes as presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has introduced legislation that would end the federal prohibition on marijuana, allowing states the power to legalize and regulate marijuana in the same way state and local laws now govern the sale of alcohol and tobacco without fear of federal impediment. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders also introduced legislation Wednesday to ban new drilling on public lands and waters. The Keep It in the Ground Act would prohibit offshore drilling in the Arctic and the Atlantic and stop new federal leases for oil, gas or coal extraction on federal lands. Sanders spoke out on Wednesday.
So if we are serious about moving aggressively with the rest of the world, we have got to lead. And that says, Senator Merkley has said so well, that we do not continue to extract fossil fuel from federally owned land. You can't talk the talk and say, I'm concerned about climate change, and then at the same time, oh, by the way, we're going to extract huge amounts of oil or coal or gas from federal land. You can't do that.
In Romania, Prime Minister Victor Porta has resigned in massive protest over a nightclub fire that killed 32 people. Following his resignation Wednesday, tens of thousands of people took to the streets of Bucharest to demand an end to corruption. One protester told Al Jazeera, quote, "If the system doesn't remove corrupt people by itself, people will make their own justice." If in 1989 people fought for liberty, in 2015 we are fighting for justice, he said. Britain's unveiled a plan for sweeping new surveillance powers, which include giving the government the ability to monitor which websites people visit. Experts say parts of the new bill go beyond even the surveillance powers allowed in the United States. Home Secretary Theresa May called the new powers unprecedented while also promising transparency.
Mr. Speaker, the legislation we are proposing today is unprecedented. It will provide unparalleled openness and transparency about our investigatory powers. It will provide the strongest safeguards and world-leading oversight arrangements. And it will give the men and women of our security and intelligence agencies and our law enforcement agencies, who do so much to keep us safe and secure, the powers they need to protect our country.
On Twitter, NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden said, quote, "By my read, Snooper's charter legitimizes mass surveillance. It's the most intrusive and least accountable surveillance regime in the West." British Prime Minister David Cameron has said it is, quote, "more likely than not that an explosive device brought down a Russian passenger plane in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula over the weekend. The crash killed 224 people. Britain has suspended flights to and from the Red Sea resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. Both Russia and Egypt have pushed back against the claim that the plane was bombed. Russia said such theories are speculation, while Egypt said there's no evidence yet to support them." In Turkey, the editors of left-leaning magazine Nokta have been arrested and charged with attempting to instigate a coup after it published a cover suggesting the results of Sunday's national election could lead to a, quote, civil war. The party of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan regained its parliamentary majority Sunday. The victory helps Erdogan strengthen a hold on power critics say has become increasingly authoritarian. Nokta editor Ismail Eren spoke out about the magazine cover and his colleague's arrest.
"We picked our cover with the idea that the results of the election may polarize the country and may bring the people to a breaking point. It was not an insult or provocation. When you read the story, you can see that it is just the summary of what has been going on. But the prosecutor's office interpreted that as abetment and decided to take our magazine out of circulation, and they also detained our editor-in-chief, Severi Güven, and editor Murat Kapan."
Egypt's top court has postponed the final trial of former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak over the killing of protesters during the 2011 uprising against his rule. Mubarak was originally sentenced to life in prison for conspiring to murder demonstrators, but a retrial was ordered on appeal. The court has adjourned the retrial until January 21st. In Fox Lake, Illinois, an investigation has found police officer Charles Glinowitz elaborately staged his suicide in September in order to look like he'd been killed in the line of duty. The probe also reveals Glinowitz stole and laundered money from a police department program for at least 7 years. On the morning of September 1st, the officer sent word over his radio that he was pursuing three people on foot. 3 minutes later, he requested backup. When more officers arrived, they found Glinowitz dead. The department then launched a massive manhunt with more than 400 law enforcement officers raking through heavy woods on foot in all-terrain vehicles and on horseback. The death was originally investigated as a homicide, but on Wednesday, the Lake County Major Crimes Task Force commander announced the death was, quote, "a carefully staged suicide, which was the end result of extensive criminal acts that Glinowitz had been committing." Before Wednesday's revelations that the officer had in fact killed himself. His death had been used by police groups to denounce the Black Lives Matter movement. In September, Fox Lake residents gathered after Glinowitz's death with signs that read "Police Lives Matter." And the head of the National Fraternal Order of Police told the Washington Post, quote, "there's a hostile element within the community at large." Meanwhile, in Alabama, a second mistrial has been declared in the trial of a Madison police officer in a case that left an Indian grandfather partially paralyzed. In February, Officer Eric Parker and other officers approached Shirashbhai Patel as he was taking a walk after a neighbor called to report a skinny black guy in the neighborhood. Dash camera footage shows police slamming Patel from a standing position face first into the ground. On Wednesday, a judge declared a second mistrial after a jury deadlocked on a single charge against Officer Parker for violating Patel's civil rights. In Marksville, Louisiana, a six-year-old boy has died and his father's critically wounded after city marshals opened fire on the family's car. Authorities say city marshals were chasing the father, Chris Few, to serve him a warrant. When Few reached a dead end, he allegedly began to back into the marshal's car. The officers then opened fire, killing first grader Jeremy Martis and critically wounding his father. Award-winning film director Quentin Tarantino is refusing to back down from his criticism of police brutality, even as police unions have launched a campaign to boycott his films. Tarantino sparked controversy after he called fatal police shootings, quote, murders, during the Rise Up October rally against police brutality in New York City, October 24th.
I got something to say, but actually, I would like to give my time to the families that want to talk. I want to give my time to the families. However, I just do also want to say, what am I doing here? I'm doing here because I am a human being with a conscience. And when I see murder, I cannot stand by. And I have to call the murdered the murdered, and I have to call the murderers the murderers. Now I'm going to give my time to the family.
Quentin Tarantino defended his remarks on MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes on Wednesday night.
Now, in the case of Walter Scott, who was the man running in the park, yep, and was shot in the back, in the case of Sam DuBose, I believe those were murder, and they were deemed murder. And the reason, and the only reason they were deemed murder is because the incidences were caught on video. However, if they had not been caught on video, the murderers would have gotten away with their murder. In the case of Eric Garner, in the case of Tamir Rice, I believe that those were murders, but they were exonerated.
Other prominent cultural figures have come out in support of Quentin Tarantino, including Mark Ruffalo, musician Tom Morello, Native American activist and journalist Simone Moya Smith, and author Joyce Carol Oates. We'll get response from actor and writer Viggo Mortensen after headlines. Former President George H.W. Bush has criticized former Vice President Dick Cheney and former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld over their hawkish reaction to the September 11th attacks. In a forthcoming biography, George H.W. Bush is quoted as saying Rumsfeld was, quote, an arrogant fellow, and that Dick Cheney was, quote, iron ass. The biography, Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush, by John Meacham, will be published next week. Arizona Senators Jeff Flake and John McCain have released a report showing how the U.S. military has spent millions of dollars paying the NFL and other sports leagues for, quote, paid-for patriotism events and ceremonies. The report documents $6.8 million worth of agreements between branches of the armed forces and sports leagues over the last 4 years. But it says this amount is only a sliver of the $53 million the military spent on advertising with sports teams during that time. In New York, protesters have rallied outside Manhattan's Rockefeller Plaza to call on NBC to cancel presidential candidate Donald Trump's upcoming performance on Saturday Night Live. A petition to dump Trump has garnered nearly 500,000 signatures. NBC had previously said it would cut ties with Trump after he called Mexican immigrants criminals and rapists. But the candidate is now scheduled to guest host Saturday Night Live this weekend. Protester Juan Escalante spoke out at Wednesday's protest.
NBC needs to stand by its previous stance, break all ties with Donald Trump, and they should not have, they should not provide him with an appropriate platform to continue to attack our communities, whether it's Latinos, immigrants, or other people. I think what Donald Trump continues to say about immigrants and Latinos is distasteful, it's insulting, and bottom line, Saturday Night Live should not be trying to make fun of what Donald Trump has said. Because when Donald Trump says that he plans to on deporting 11 million people, he means that. When Donald Trump said that Mexican immigrants are rapists, murderers, they're drug dealers, he meant that. And there's no way for them to, you know, take those clips and try to repackage them and pass them off as comedy.
Police arrested more than 50 professors and their supporters during a rally for faculty on Wednesday in New York City. Protesters blocked the doors of the administrative offices of CUNY, that's the City University of New York in Manhattan, in protest of their lack of a contract and low wages. CUNY professors say they have not had a contract since 2010 and have not received raises in 6 years. Hundreds of warehouse workers for New York City's B&H photo video have voted overwhelmingly to unionize. Wednesday's 200-88 vote to join the United Steelworkers Union comes after the warehouse workers organized for more than a year with the support of the group, the Laundry Workers Center. The workers are now demanding a contract that will protect them from what they describe as dangerous working conditions inside B&H Photo's two Brooklyn warehouses. And Canada's new prime minister, Justin Trudeau, has announced a new cabinet in which half the new members are women. One is a former refugee. An Aboriginal woman will be the minister of defense. An astronaut will be the minister of justice. An astronaut will be leading the Ministry of Transport. Trudeau answered a reporter's question about the new cabinet on Wednesday.
Your cabinet, you said, looks a lot like Canada. And I understand one of the priorities for you was to have a cabinet that was gender balanced. Why was that so important to you?
Because it's 2015.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers around the country and around the world. Our guest is a world-famous actor from one of the most popular movie franchises of all time. Yet box office success is not what's defined his career. In the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Viggo Mortensen starred as Aragorn, the warrior king who leads the fight for Middle-earth.
Now come the days of the king. May they be blessed.
This day does not belong to one man, but to all. Let us together rebuild this world, that we may share in the days of peace.
Let us together rebuild this world, that we may share in the days of peace. Viggo Mortensen might have said that in Middle Earth, but it's a line that applies to him on this Earth as well. Mortensen is a vocal advocate of progressive causes, using his celebrity to speak out for social justice. Mortensen has appeared in numerous performances of Howard Zinn's Voices of a People's History of the United States and is a cast member of the television documentary version of The People Speak. He'll be reading excerpts from Voices of a People's History of the United States tonight at Lincoln Center.
On top of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Viggo Mortensen has starred in numerous films, including David Cronenberg's movies A History of Violence, Eastern Promises, for which he received an Oscar nomination for Best Actor, and A Dangerous Method, for which he received a Golden Globe Award. His most recent films include Far From Men and Hauja. In addition to his acting pursuits, Viggo Mortensen is a poet, a painter, and a photographer. And he's a book publisher, spotlighting alternative voices. He's the editor of his own imprint, Percival Press, which has just reissued the 2003 book Twilight of Empire, Responses to Occupation. Viggo Mortensen joins us here in New York. Welcome to Democracy Now!
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us. So we're not going to talk to you about Lord of the Rings right now or History of Violence. We're not going to talk to you even about your latest film. But we do want to talk to you about this latest book, Twilight of Empire. You're re-releasing it after 12 years. What is relevant about today, 2015, that actually goes back to 2003 when you first released the book?
Well, this book, Twilight of Empire, Responses to Occupation, is a book that was published at the moment that we were invading and occupying Iraq under false pretenses, you know, based on a pack of lies. And it's a collection of essays, reports, even poems from commentators all over the world, Americans, Iraqis, Canadians, all kinds of people, including yourself. You wrote a really fine foreword for it at the time. And in the second edition, Howard Zinn wrote a very good foreword. And when I reread it recently, And knowing that our stocks were low, because fortunately the book has sold out a couple times, I thought this book, unfortunately, still holds true. It's not like you're looking at, like many of the things that were said in 2003 do not hold true, have been seen to be inaccurate statements and lies. This book, unfortunately, this story has not changed. It has deepened. It has become more complicated. The consequences of our of the United States-led unjustified invasion of Iraq are clear for all to see in the region. You know, what is going on now in the Middle East and in West Asia. The problems that we face have a lot to do with what happened in 2003. And in this new edition, there are two new essays that speak to what has happened since, from Dennis Kucinich, who was a congressman at the time and virtually the only person to stand up in Congress and say this is wrong. Anybody can see that the reasons that are being given for this invasion are unfounded. And also Anthony Arnov wrote a fine foreword. And Anthony Arnov was co-author of the book that you mentioned before, Voices of a People's History of the United States. Both of these books, in a sense, are the real history, and in some cases, unfortunately, the hidden history of the United States, and in the case of Twilight of Empire, the United States abroad, you know, as it behaves overseas. And, you know, I walked here today, this morning. I had lots of time, and I was thinking, and I heard on my way down, coming out of it was like a radio, I guess, coming out of a deli, or grocery store, the national anthem. I don't know why it was being played, I don't know why, and it made me think about the first line of our national anthem, you know, oh, say, can you see? And I thought, that's a great line. I love that line. Then I thought about the last two lines, land of the free and home of the brave. Those last two lines are the ones that get people up on their feet and make them feel good about themselves and their country, and they're all fine and good. But oh, say, can you see, is a question, a really important question. Can you see? Can you bear witness to what is happening? Home of the brave. There's brave people all over the world. Free, well, freedom is relative. To be free, you have to work at it. It's a work in progress. In the United States, in no country, is everybody free. You know, it's why I like the name of the show, Democracy Now. What does that mean? That means that democracy is not a static thing any more than a supposedly good marriage is a static thing. It takes work. You know, there are people who don't want to see, who'd rather not find out too much about what's going on in the world, in their country, in their community, within their own families. And then there are people who do want to see, who do want to know, who do want to find out. I'm one of those. Although I do understand that I understand that people don't want to see too much. You know, people don't want to have to think that their police department or their president is committing abuses of power. They don't want to think that their parents are committing abuses of power. You know, it's relative. I think that the opinions that one has, that one can give, you know, there are people who might watch this show and just say, well, there's another jerk from the entertainment business shooting his mouth off. I'm a citizen of this country. I'm a citizen of the world. And as I say, I like to see, and when I find out something, facts that I find interesting or disturbing, I like to share them with my friends, with others. I have as much right as anybody else to do that. How does a democracy work? How does freedom work? It works like that. People talking about what's going on, people saying, did you see that? You mentioned Quentin Tarantino. He saw, like we all could see, certain things, you know. There are certain, that doesn't mean that all that all cops are bad. He didn't say that. He just said,
hold that thought, because we're going to break and then come back to just what Quentin Tarantino said.
Sure.
And we want to hear what you say about it. We are talking to Viggo Mortensen for the hour, the Academy Award-nominated actor, editor of Perceval Press, which just reissued its 2003 book, Twilight of Empire, Responses to Occupation. Yes, Viggo Mortensen has starred in many films, including the blockbuster The Lord of the Rings trilogy. This is Democracy Now! We'll be back with Viggo in a minute.
Masters of war, you that build all the guns, you that build the death planes, you that build the big bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build or destroy, you play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won, you want me to believe, but I see through your eyes.
That's Viggo Mortensen singing Bob Dylan, Masters of War, courtesy of The People Speak. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. As we go now to the controversy around the award-winning film director Quentin Tarantino. On October 24th, Democracy Now! Was down at Washington Square Park. There was a major protest there. Quentin Tarantino spoke at the Rise Up October rally against police brutality before thousands of people here in New York City.
I got something to say, but actually, I would like to give my time to the families that want to talk. I want to give my time to the families. However, I just do also want to say, what am I doing here? I'm doing here because I am a human being with a conscience. And when I see murder, I cannot stand by. And I have to call the murdered, and I have to call the murderers. Now I want to give my time to the family.
Quentin Tarantino's comments have come under intense criticism. Several major police unions have called for a boycott of his films. On Wednesday night, Tarantino defended his remarks on All In with Chris Hayes.
Now, in the case of Walter Scott, who was the man running in the park and was shot in the back, in the case of Sam DeBose, I believe those were murder, and they were deemed murder. And the reason, and the only reason they were deemed murder is because the incidences were caught on video. However, if they had not been caught on video, the murderers would have gotten away with their murder. In the case of Eric Garner, in the case of Tamir Rice, I believe that those were murders, but they were exonerated.
That was award-winning film director Quentin Tarantino speaking on Chris Hayes last night. So, Viggo Mortensen, could you respond to this controversy?
Well, I saw both the clip of what he said on the 24th of October, and I saw him on All In last night with Chris Hayes, and I thought that Quentin Tarantino knocked it out of the park in his interview last night. He clearly saw what anybody with eyes in their head could see in certain videos. Fortunately, those certain events were videotaped of police brutality. He was commenting like the people, the families of those who've been slain by police officers, unarmed people, you know. In some cases, those acts have been condemned, you know, have been called murder. And in other cases, they have controversially not been, you know, what happened on Staten Island, you know, recently, and in other places. even though they were videotaped and all could see what was going on. You know, clearly there is it's a small minority, obviously, and it is a problem of police officers, not just in New York and not just in Missouri and, you know, not just in the South, but all over the country. There are some individuals who break the law, who are committing criminal acts as police officers, who are murdering, who are using excessive force. But what's more troubling, and that's part of the reaction, the backlash against Tarantino, is the condoning, the tacit condoning of these abuses of power by certain police officers, by their bosses, by people who should know better. Quentin Tarantino did not say that all cops are murderers. He didn't say, I hate cops. Never said any of those things. He said, certain things that I have seen and that everyone has seen are wrong, and I'm bearing witness. You know, that's what the Howard Zinn book and Twilight of Empire are about. They're about bearing witness.
Police unions are calling for a boycott of his film that's coming out, The Hateful Eight. Interestingly, you turned down a role in The Hateful Eight. You also auditioned for his film Reservoir Dogs.
When he's early in his career, his first, you know, big feature, Reservoir Dogs, I did audition for that, and that was fun. And I was lucky to meet Quentin again about a year ago before he was going to shoot The Hateful Eight. I simply wasn't available. It wasn't that I turned it down. I just wasn't available to do it, but I had a really great conversation with him.
So Mark Ruffalo, the musician Tom Morello, the great author Joyce Carol Oates, they have all come out in support of Tarantino. Do you join that list?
Absolutely. But it's not just Tarantino. It's about all the other people that were there on the 24th. It's not, you know, just being someone in the entertainment business does not give you more right than anyone else to speak. And it certainly doesn't give you less right. You know, the way that the police authority figures are speaking against Tarantino is by making irrelevant moral judgments about his movies, you know. To attack him, and that will work, you know, with a certain part of the population who likes to think, well, everything that's done in the movie business is, you know, it's Sodom and Gomorrah, and, you know, these people shouldn't be allowed to speak, and so forth. I mean, I don't think anything I say on this program today is going to be a problem for me as far as big reaction, because I'm not, you know, people see my movies, fortunately, but I'm not. It's not like when Lord of the Rings came out, then I was more in the news along with the rest of the cast, you know, because those movies were a box office phenomenon. But I was, you know, mercilessly attacked and slandered by all kinds of people just for saying in 2000, I remember 2002, I think it was on Charlie Rose and in other places when I was asked what I thought about, you know, what was going on or the build-up to war in Iraq. I just said, well, it's wrong. It's obviously there's no justification for it. And I got hundreds of emails a day for months and months saying, you know, why don't you move to France or and much worse. And, you know,
well,
that
I
was a traitor
to...
and a coward and so forth. And,
yes,
I didn't have a right to speak. This is what they do to Quentin, saying you're a movie maker. You don't have a right to speak. Let the politicians speak about politics. Well, I think that letting our rulers decide how to govern us is not, we haven't had a great history there.
Well, I want to go back to 2002. Before the U.S. entered the war in Iraq, you appeared on Charlie Rose along with fellow Lord of the Rings actor Elijah Wood and producer Peter Jackson. You wore a T-shirt that said, "No more blood for oil." Charlie Rose asked if you were making a political statement by wearing that shirt.
I wouldn't normally, but it's sort of a reaction to, I've heard a lot of people say to me, and I've read in a lot of places about the first movie and increasingly about the second one. I've seen where people try to relate it to, you know, current situation, specifically the United States, and their role in the world right now. And if you're going to compare, then you should get it right. You know, I don't like hearing, you know, I mean, I played a character who's defending Helm's Deep, you know, and I don't think that the Two Towers or Tolkien's writing or Peter's work or our work has anything to do with the United States foreign adventures you know, at this time. And it upsets me to hear that in a way. And it upsets me even more that questioning what's going on right now, what the United States is doing, is considered treasonous, really. And how dare you say that, and how un-American of you. And really, this country is founded on the principle that if the government isn't serving the people, you at least have the right to say, wait a minute, what's going on? And there's no questions really being asked at large about what we're doing.
That was your appearance on Charlie Rose in 2002. So could you talk about the response that you received to what you said that evening on Charlie Rose?
Well, there were some people, you know, friends of mine or people who are among those who do like to find out, who do like to see what's going on and think for themselves, who felt that it was a good thing to speak up, you know. And yes, I was there to promote the movie. And there are some who would say, well, you know, you're there to talk about the movie, don't talk about that. He asked me about the shirt I was wearing, so I answered. And there are times where...
You made the No More Blood for Oil t-shirt yourself.
No More Blood for Oil, yeah. And, yeah, with a Sharpie hit the before going in there and on a white t-shirt. I think there's times where you have to speak up, or you should, or you look back and you think, you know, I should have said something, because I knew better. And that goes for most of Congress, you know, in 2002 and 2003. This interview that you just showed a clip from was in the fall of 2002. And I think on that show, at one point, whether it was on the air or not, I don't remember, Charlie said, well, how do you, you know, why are you saying there's going to be an invasion of Iraq? And I said, well, you know, today I was open the fashion section of the New York Times, and they were showing all the new military uniforms. I mean, this is a movie that's obviously greenlit and well on its way in pre-production, and it's ready to go.
And you weren't talking about Lord of the Rings. You were talking about the movie.
The invasion of Iraq, you know, under false pretenses, you know, and I don't know. Yeah, no, I got a lot. Because those movies, that was when the second one was coming out, The Two Towers, and so all of us who were involved in that trilogy were suddenly very popular. And just as is the case with Quentin Tarantino now, speaking about, you know, police brutality and the condoning of it by the authorities within police departments, I got a lot of crap at the time, you know, tons of it on a daily basis for months and months, that I was a traitor, that I should, you know, move to France, as I say, that I, and much worse, you know. And this is what routinely happens. I mean, Quentin Tarantino didn't say anything that many other people have said, but because he is a public figure and he will be making the rounds and be doing interviews for months to come, and, you know, probably go to the Oscars with his movie The Hateful Eight and so forth, they attack that movie and are trying to make people boycott and so forth. I mean, I have a feeling that probably more people will go see his movie than would have anyway. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But sometimes you do. You do lose employment. You do.
Have you ever?
I don't know. I know that some. I mean, I have gotten emails at times when I have said something critical of U.S. foreign policy, whether it be with regard to the government of Israel or problems in the Middle East, problems in Latin America. When I've spoken about, you know, something that's a long tradition in this country. I mean, even in recent history, the Clinton Doctrine, Bill Clinton Doctrine, basically says that the United States reserves the right to use unilateral military force anytime, anywhere it feels that it doesn't have access to foreign markets or resources, anytime it wants to enforce its geopolitical ambitions. I mean, that's crazy. That's tyranny. And George W. Bush didn't do anything new. He just followed that doctrine, and so has Barack Obama. You know, I saw an excellent show you had on here with Jeremy Scahill, talking about the drone papers. I mean, everybody should see that, you know. I want to see. I want to know. And when I saw that show, I sent that link to everybody I knew and many people I didn't know. And whether they looked at it or not, I don't know. But there are times where you have to say something. I felt at that moment in 2002, in the fall of 2002, I was in New York City, and here we were, you know, New York City, where the year before, you know, September 11th and all that. And just there are certain things that can't be left alone without comment, I think. And
well, it's interesting, that period in the fall of 2002, when you were speaking out, even as you were pushing your film, but making this larger point. At that time, in 2002, at the end of it, Hillary Clinton stood up on the floor of the Senate with many other Democratic and Republican senators and voted to authorize the war in Iraq. Now, fast forward to 2015, and Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have voiced support for President Obama's plan to keep U.S. troops in Afghanistan through the end of Obama's term in 2017. Obama had declared an official end to the U.S. combat mission in Afghanistan last year, but announced last month he's halting the phased military withdrawal. Speaking on CNN, Hillary Clinton backed Obama's decision.
I will not sit here today and say what I would do upon taking office because, again, we want to bring our troops home. We certainly don't want them engaged in on-the-ground combat. We want them to help support and train the Afghan army, and we want them to, you know, continue to work with the government of Afghanistan to try to help strengthen security for them. So I can't predict where things will be in January of 2017, but I support the president's decision.
So there is Hillary Clinton today in 2015. As you watch this, Viggo Mortensen, your thoughts on the presidential campaign and on the new Clinton who is running for president?
Well, the new Clinton, which is not all that new, as far as ideas, when you talk about foreign policy, certainly. She's the likely Democratic nominee. And I don't expect that she nor any of the Republican candidates are going to talk in any detail or with any profundity about what happened in 2002, 2003. You know, it's, certainly they're not going to talk about Iraq. I mean, Trump has thrown a few firecrackers at Jeb Bush to try to get a rise out of him. The subject of what our government did and what we as citizens allowed to happen in 2003 and the consequences that we are living with now is not going to be a topic of conversation, really, I don't think, in the presidential campaign. I mean, I wish that Bernie Sanders would be president for many reasons. I think in many ways he speaks truth to power, but even in foreign policy, you know, I mean, he's a person who, as a senator, has voted for every military appropriation, has voted for every, resolution, pro-Israel government resolution without question. In many ways, he's as hawkish as Hillary Clinton is. So, you know, I don't have a problem with, you know—
What would you say to him about Israel?
I would say that you have to treat Israel like everybody else. You know, I don't like that Israel is basically an offshore military base for the United States, you know, and its empire, basically. I have never liked that. You know, there are certain—it's relative. You know, you can see certain things, and it bothers you, and you get over it, you know. I don't like that the Mets lost the World Series, but I'll get over it. I don't like that we invaded Iraq, and I'll never get over it. I don't like that people who knew better voted to give permission to the U.S. administration to do that. There's many things that are really serious.
You wrote a poem in Twilight of Empire, and when we come back, we'd like to also have you read that, as well as talk more about world politics. Yes, we're talking about the world-renowned actor, Viggo Mortensen, who also happens to be the editor, a publisher. He's the editor of Percival Press, which has just reissued its 2003 book, Twilight of Empires, Responses to Occupation. We'll be back with him in a moment.
I was dreaming, in my dreaming, with an aspect.
Maddie Smith singing People Have the Power. She's performing at Beacon Theater in New York on November 10th. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh, our guest for the hour. It's choking me up right now, is the world-renowned author Viggo Mortensen. But he is an actor, he is a publisher, he is a poet, he is a photographer and an artist. You know what I mean?
Well, last month, NBC's Chuck Todd asked Democratic presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders about his position on drones.
What does counterterrorism look like in a Sanders administration? Drones, special forces, or what does it look like?
Well, all of that and more.
You're okay with the drone?
Look, using drone is a weapon. When it works badly, it is terrible and it is counterproductive. When you blow up a facility or a building which kills women and children,
sure.
You know what? It not only does it do us, it's terrible.
But
it's,
you're comfortable with the idea of using drones if, well, you think you've isolated,
yes,
an important terrorist?
Yes. Yes.
So that, yeah, that continues.
Yes. And look, we all know, you know, that there are people as of this moment plotting against the United States. We have got to be vigorous in protecting our country, no question about it.
All right.
Presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders talking about drones. Viggo Mortensen, your assessment of what he said?
Not surprising, as I say. You know, he's always, you know, for all the good things he does, he's also very hawkish and not really different than Hillary Clinton in that regard or any of the Republicans.
How is he different?
He's not really. I mean, the one thing that I think Hillary has been using and will continue to use is the gun thing, you know, in this country, gun laws, and what Bernie's track record is in Vermont, you know. I mean, I'm someone who was raised hunting with my father and so forth, so I'm not as troubled by his stance. I mean, he is for gun control, in a sense, and he's, and in a lot of ways, he is someone who people who want something done about gun control can feel good about. But he also looks at people who live in rural areas and hunting and so forth like that. I'm less troubled about that. I'm much more troubled about his warlike stance, you know, that is not really any different than, but that's not going to be talked about any more than what really happened in Iraq and what it means today. That's not going to be talked about.
Well, Viggo Mortensen, I'd like to ask you, because a lot of people, of course, you're a celebrity, you're a world-renowned actor, but you're also very politically engaged. So could you say a little about what inspired you to become politically engaged in the way that you have?
I don't know. I mean, I've always been curious. I like to know what's going on, you know. I mean, I drove my mom crazy probably as a kid by saying, why? And then she would explain it. I go, but why? You know.
Where were you born?
What does that mean? And I was born in New York City and raised all over. My parents moved around a lot in South America and Scandinavia, where my dad's from.
You lived for years in Buenos Aires?
Yeah, in Argentina, yeah.
Let's go for a moment to the Pope. I think we have a clip of the Pope during his historic visit to the U.S. in September. Pope Francis, an Argentinian, addressed Congress and spoke out against the global arms trade.
Why are deadly weapons being sold to those who plan to inflict untold suffering on individuals and society? Sadly, the answer, as we all know, is simply for money. Money that is drenched in blood, often innocent blood. In the face of the shameful and culpable silence, it is our duty to confront the problem and to stop the arms trade.
Pope Francis addressing an unprecedented joint session of Congress. Never before did a pope do that. Viggo Mortensen, you lived growing up in Buenos Aires in Argentina. You knew the pope?
No, but he's blessed a chapel that I donated and had built on the grounds of San Lorenzo, the same soccer football team that he has supported all his life. So we have that in common, and he came and blessed that place. It's a place that was
built and when we inaugurated it, where I said, you know, this is a place for all, for atheists, for Jews, for Muslims, even people from other soccer teams that aren't San Lorenzo. I thought that was fantastic what he said. And he's done many things, you know, but he's going against the current within the church. And it's amazing what he's been saying and many of the things that he's been doing. You know, I wish I could say the same thing about Barack Obama in his first and second terms, you know, everything he promised, the changes he promised. It's not enough to say, well, the Republicans stymied me all the way, which is true, you know. There are choices he made from the people he appointed, you know, criminals from Wall Street right to start with after the, you know, 2008 collapse of the economy. And especially foreign policy. If you talked about drones, I mean, I could go on and on, and I won't. You talked about something about being engaged. There are many ways of being engaged. One is to talk about politics.
And you speak also, by the way, many languages, right? English, Spanish.
Yeah, well, I'm interested. I like to know what people are talking about.
So what sometimes other languages?
You have to learn other languages?
Your father is from?
Denmark.
So you speak?
Yeah, and I speak
Danish,
French,
Swedish.
And once you learn a couple as a kid, then it's easier to learn others.
It's easier for you to say.
But, you know, this thing about we can talk about politics and talk about facts. And sometimes, as I said, this book, Twilight of Empire, has not only essays and reports from that moment in 2003, but there are also poems by different people. And I have a poem in here. I'll take the liberty of reading it, because sometimes you can say things with a poem in a different way. And this is written in 2003, right at the point of the invasion, or just before it, in February of 2003 it was written. And it takes place in Iraq, or what used to be Babylon, you know, that part of the world that's traversed by the rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. Anyway, it's called Back to Babylon. Accept and forget difference or desire that separates and leaves us longing or repelled. Why briefly return to play in broken places, to mock the ground, to collect infant shards, coins, fossils, or the familiar empty canisters and casings that glint from poisoned roots in the blackened dust? We make bad ghosts, and are last to know or believe we too will fade, just as our acrid smoke and those strange flakes of skin and strands of hair will, into largely undocumented extinction. Lie down, lie down. Sleep is the best thing for being awake. Do as we've always been told and done, no backward glances or second thoughts, leaving sad markers buried in the sand. Sleep now, dream of children with their heads still on, or grandmothers unburdening clotheslines at twilight, of full kettles slow ticking over twig embers. Ignore boneless, nameless victims that venture out on bitter gravel to claim remains while we rest. Pay at the window for reheated, prejudiced incantations. Take them home and enjoy widescreen, half-digested, replayed previews of solemn national celebration. Then sleep, by all means. We'll need all the energy we can muster for compiling this generation's abridged anthology of official war stories, highlights of heedless slaughter, to burnish our long and proud imperial tradition. At some point, by virtue of accidentally seeing and listening, we may find ourselves participating in our own rendering. Few of our prey will be left alive enough to water the sun with their modest, time-rubbed repetitions to rephrase their particular unifying laws. Our version of events has already made its money back in foreign distribution and pre-sales. All victory deadlines must be met. It can get so quiet, with or without the dead watching our constant deployments. From our tilted promontory, we may see one last woman scuffle away across cracked parchment of dry wash beneath us, muttering to herself, or is she singing at us? As she rounds the sheared granite face and disappears into a grove of spindly, trembling tamarisk shadows lining the main road, we'll soon hear little other than our breathing as shale cools and bats rise to feed, taking over from sated swallows. Night anywhere is home, darkness a cue for turning inward, quiet an invitation to review our expensive successes before morning extraction from the twin rivers of our common cradle.
That's Viggo Mortensen reading Back to Babylon, his own writing in Twilight of Empire, Response to Occupation, a book that has been released after 12 years, released when the U.S. invaded Iraq, and now in 2015. In the last few minutes we have together, what words do you have for young artists, actors? You're a musician as well. You're a photographer. Who might be afraid to speak out in the way you have? I mean, in a sense, it's what makes you the Renaissance man you're described as. You are not only, you know, are involved in all these different fields in the world, but you speak out on many different issues. What about people who are afraid, feel it will destroy their career, that they could never star in Lord of the Rings if they dared to read something like that?
I don't know. I think each person has to make their own decisions. You know, each person has to answer the question, oh, say, can you see? Oh, say, do you want to see? I would say don't take no for an answer in terms of career, whether it's an actor or a writer. Someone wants to be a director. Someone wants to be a journalist like yourselves. Don't take no for an answer. If it's something you really want to do, just stick to it. Stick around. You learn a lot by listening to others, by paying attention, by making a conscious effort to see. I understand, as I said before, that, you know, people a lot of times don't want to know, certainly don't want to speak about what they've seen because it's unpleasant. It can be depressing when you start to dig around and find out things. And there is that fear that you speak of, you know. Am I going to lose the job? Is my movie not going to be seen by many people? Are people going to hate me? I mean, those things do happen. You know, people are blacklisted. You know, one of the most important activists of the 20th century in the United States was Paul Robeson. And he was someone who spoke truth to power in the way Howard Zinn does and Anthony Arnov and all these people in Twilight of Empire and all these ordinary Americans throughout the history of the United States and voices of a people's history of the United States do. Paul Robeson, because when he would go overseas and perform, spoke about U.S. foreign policy and about, you know, the tyrannical aspect of U.S. foreign policy. So the next time he came home, they had his passport taken away. He was not allowed to travel. And he talked about being a member of the U.S. resistance movement in the same sense that, you know, there were some in France who were part of the resistance movement against the Nazis. When he equated the two things, people were scandalized.
But, well, you know, we have to wrap up now, but from Paul Robeson to Viggo Mortensen, we hope we can continue the conversation. Viggo Mortensen is a world-renowned actor, editor of Perceval Press, which just reissued the 2003 book Twilight of Empire, Responses to Occupation. He will be tonight performing in a reading of Voices of People's History of the United States at the atrium at Lincoln Center. And tomorrow night, Friday night at 7, we'll be together at Jackson McNally Books, McNally Jackson Books. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.